Good morning. I hope everybody is doing well on this. I think we have turned the corner towards fall kind of day. A little brisk this morning. And hopefully your allergies won't be as bad as mine when we hit this this time of the year. But we're so glad that you're here today. Hey, look, give somebody a wave, look around, give them a smile that says, I'm glad you're here. Don't forget our choir. Choir, smile, and give them a big old wave. For those that are joining us online, we're so glad that that you have chosen to join us today. And we look forward to gathering around the Lord's Word and hearing what it is that He has to say for each and every one of us today. So let's begin by going to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you, we're so grateful for this opportunity that you've given us to be able to gather in your name. Lord, we think about those that, Lord, wish they could be here today. They wish they could gather with your people and hear your word and be encouraged. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with them. Father, we pray that you'll watch over our ladies group as they travel back today. We ask that you give them safety and security as they make their way back to home to pick up and ministering for you where they left off in this time of respite. Now, Lord, I just ask that as we gather around your word, Lord, as we lift our voice in song, as we take every aspect of what we do to worship you today, Lord, may our mind be focused upon you. Lord, may our hearts be able to hear what it is that you have to say to each and every one of us in our own individual life. Lord, I'm glad that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a living word, and it speaks to us in the moments that we're traveling through this life. So may we hear you today, Lord. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. So right now, Father, as we lift our voice in praise, may it be a sweet savor in your presence as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy. Page 2 if you need it. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee.
Step down into darkness, open
altogether wonderful to me.
In letters of crimson, God wrote his love on a hillside so long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said. Down through the ages, God wrote his love with the same hands that suffered and bled, giving all he had to give, a message so easily read. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said.
That's hard to follow. Yeah, just pray and go on to lunch, right? Gospel message all right there. But unfortunately, you know me, and I will not be closing in prayer just yet. We're going to be looking in our Bible today at the book of Galatians, chapter 6. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. You know, this past week, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes you find yourself in circumstances or situations, whether you happen to be, you know, at the local dealership or getting an oil change or at the doctor's office or whatever, and you find yourself sitting there. And often, if you're by yourself, and you're like me, I don't want to sit there with my phone buried in my face all the time. But what happens is you're aware a little bit more of what's going on around you, and in fact, you hear conversations that not necessarily were intended for you to hear. You know, whether it's somebody sitting over there in the waiting room beside you, you know, discussing something or what have you. And I had an experience one time where I was sitting there, and there was this older gentleman, and I guess he probably may have been somewhere in his 80s, walked with a cane, had the most pleasant smile and the most pleasant disposition that you could ever imagine. And as I observed this guy, it was like everybody knew him. People would come in, and you know, they would be going about whatever their business was, and all of a sudden they would see him and a smile would cross their face, and you know, they would wave at him, or they would go over and, you know, shake his hand or what have you. And he always had such a kind word. And I thought to myself, I wonder if this guy works here. Well, later on, I found out that he didn't. He wasn't an employee of the shop, but yet everybody knew him. Well, as I watched this man, I did see him, you know, a little bit later on, begin an encounter with a young man. His encounter was with a younger fella, probably somewhere in his maybe early to mid-20s. And it was one of those deals where I kind of felt bad because I was hearing the conversation. The conversation wasn't necessarily meant for me, but when people are having it 5 feet away from you and you got nothing else to do, you know what automatically happens? You listen. And so what was taking place was this older gentleman began to share his testimony with the younger fellow. And I mean, you could tell this is the first time that they had ever met, and they began to have, you know, some conversation. And the older gentleman began to talk about what the Lord had done in his life and what the Lord had done through him. And you could really tell that this older man was genuinely concerned about this younger fellow. So the younger fellow begins, you know, almost like a confession, to talk about what his life consisted of. And let me put it mildly, it was anything but Christian. Okay? Now, I don't know whether maybe he was doing that to try to scare this young guy off or what have you, or scare the older guy off, but he didn't. The older guy didn't sit there in judgment over what the young man was telling him. He sat there and listened attentively. You could tell what was that he was listening by the concern and the reaction that he was giving to the younger man. And it was almost like a pause, a dramatic pause when he got done, where he was waiting to see what the older man was going to say to him. The older man was not judgmental by any stretch of the imagination, but he kept pointing this fella to Jesus. And I still remember what the young guy said. The young guy said this. He said, "I am at that particular age where I'm going to go sow my wild oats." We've all heard that expression, haven't we? "I'm just going to go out and sow my wild oats. And I want to tell you one thing about me." He said, "I'm not a hypocrite. And therefore, you know, I'm not saying," he said, "I'm not saying that what you're telling me is not important, because I know it is important." He said, but I'm just not ready to take that step yet because there's some things I want to do in life that are contrary to what God's word says. And of course, the older fellow began to let him know that you may not have your next breath. And how many people in life go through life thinking that, well, I'll get through this phase and then I will call on the Lord. I will do these things, and when I'm tired of them, then I'll call on the Lord. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite like all those people down at the church. How many of y'all have ever heard that before? People said to me, oh, church is full of hypocrites. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. They're full of sinners. I said, but you know what else? I said, the hospital's full of sick people too. And there's no better place to be than in the presence of the Lord, even when you're not doing so good. Folks, let me tell you something about the Lord. The Lord never gave people a pass on sin. Now, there have been times that he's given some people a pass on the consequence of the sin, but he always called the sin out. I've said so many times that I love that passage when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he said to her after they had conversation, he said, well, go get your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you have rightly said, you have five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. He didn't just let it slide. He calls the sin onto the carpet. So what does that have to do with this? This goes back to what the young man said and what the older man was trying to say to him. Because the younger man, in just all of the calmness and all of the spirituality that was about him, essentially recited a passage that we're going to look at today. Out of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading with verse 7. And he says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, we ask right now that your word would become alive in our hearts, alive in our minds. Lord, I pray that you will help us each and every day of our life to not simply have the head knowledge, but Lord, to make application of what your word is speaking into our hearts right now. Father, I pray that we will understand how short life on this earth really is, but how long eternity really is. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to make the right decisions while on this earth. Lord, I pray that you will help us to put our trust in you as Savior, but Lord, not only as Savior, but as Lord. May we truly give our life over to you. May you lead us and guide us each and every step of the way, through every thought, through every decision, through every action that we do. But Lord, I'm thankful for the reminder of what you tell us in these scriptures today, that whatever we sow, that is what we're going to reap. So Lord, bless our time. Use me as your messenger for these moments. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you look at that particular, this is what the man was telling him. The older man was telling the guy, he said, you know what you're talking about? And essentially he said, you brought this up. You said, I want to go out and sow my wild oats. And he said, that points right back to the scripture which says this, you better be careful about what you sow, because as you sow, you're going to reap. Be careful about what you do. Be careful about where you go. Be careful about what you say. Now, if you've been around this church and around me very long, there are a few things that you understand. I like to call this the law of sowing and reaping. And some people will say, that's the scripture text. But I've said this, a law is something that happens all the time. Now, we look at law in regard to the fact of a speed limit sign and all that. Well, you know what? The law says that there can be a consequence if you exceed what the posted speed limit is. But there's also scientific laws. You've heard me say this before. Like the law of gravity. How many of y'all have ever experienced and understand the law of gravity? And you got some marks to prove it. Yeah, you got some scars, you got some broken bones or whatever. But here's the bottom line. If I trip over something and my balance gets off, I am 100% of the time going to hit the ground like a sack of potatoes, right? You can't go up to the roof and jump off and think that you're going to go upward. You're going to go, if you're on the planet Earth, that's what's going to happen. 100% of the time. Amen? You picking up what I'm putting down? It's called the law of gravity. So today, I want you to understand that there is a law of sowing and reaping. A law. Not something that might happen. It is something that will happen. One of the cool things in my life that's taught me lessons about a lot of different things has been doing some gardening on a small scale. I don't have a big garden, but I have a planter box, and I'll plant some maters and taters and squash and all the good stuff, the cucumbers and the good stuff. So what happens is, when the winter breaks and spring starts and you go out there and you plant, I don't go out there to waste my time and say, I wonder what's going to come up here. No, I meticulously go out and pick me out some tomato plants, or I will pick out some seeds and I will put them into the ground and I will cover it, and there's no sign of them whatsoever. You can't see them for a while. It takes a while for that seed to germinate or that plant to take root and start to grow. But me, I'm like a little kid. I'll go out there every day. Nothing. And then one day, this tiny little sprig comes up, or that plant starts to grow, and all of a sudden it starts to bloom. That's just kind of cool time, man. How many of y'all plant something? I mean, you've done that before, and you watch. Isn't it the coolest thing in the world when it starts to do what it's supposed to do? Now, I'm not going to get real spiritual on that, but you make it spiritual. Isn't it real cool when it does what it's supposed to do? There's a whole lot of sermons that can come out of this mater plant, okay? But you know what? When it comes up, never, ever have I gone out there and looked and said, why is my tomato plant producing a banana? I've never done that, not one single time. When I plant my tomatoes, what do I have the expectations going to grow? Tomatoes. I don't go out there and plant a tomato and say, ooh, maybe I'll get peaches this year. No, I plant a tomato with the expectation that I will have a mater sandwich a little bit later on some toast with some mayo, right, Randy? Lettuce on that bat. If you're really feeling frisky, do your BLT. But there's an expectation that that plant, that tomato plant, bring forth tomatoes. It's a reasonable expectation, isn't it? Never have I gone out and planted tomatoes and come and found anything other than tomatoes. Now, some of y'all are going, I have. You went and bought a plant one time that some kid had a heyday at Lowe's and moved all the stickers around, and you didn't get what you thought you were getting, right? But see, that's not the same thing. When you know that that's what that is, there's an expectation, and God has expectations of you and I. There are a lot of laws we would like to change, isn't it? Maybe you'd like to change the law of gravity, that if you trip, you fall upward instead of down. It'd be a lot less painful. But the bottom line is, that's not the way. It's a law. It happens 100% of the time. In the Word, what we've read today is a law. And the law is simply this: whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap to the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit. And yet, we have a bunch of people today who profess to be Christians that think that, that being a Christian is a Sunday thing. They think it's about so many different things. Folks, let me tell you, being a Christian is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week thing, not just in the church, but in your workplace, in your neighborhoods, in your homes, because people are watching what is going on. What are you sowing? Do you sow seeds of discord? Do you sow seeds of gossip? Do you sow the seeds that are contrary to what God's Word said? Because let me tell you what is going to happen 100% of the time. When you sow those seeds, they're going to bring forth a harvest. And if you sow discord, what sort of harvest is there going to be? What are you going to reap? If you have sowed things that are ungodly and things that are unbiblical, you will receive ungodly and unbiblical things as well. Some of the laws you just cannot beat, because the Lord says, and He says this: don't be deceived, don't be fooled. God isn't mocked. You're not going to get away with it. Paul says in this passage that we will reap what we sow. And as simple as that is, I don't understand why people don't seem to get that today. It carries me back to that conversation in that dealership where the young man said, I'm going to go out and sow my wild oats. Well, you know what my response would have been based on what the Scripture says? You better be ready, because there's a reckoning day coming. You might think that it's over when you get done sowing your wild oats, but you know what? I never have gone out and planted a tomato and the next day come back and had big old tomatoes on that vine. No, it takes care, it takes nurture, it takes water, it takes fertilization, it takes running the squirrels out of them. It takes getting the bugs off of them. It's an everyday thing. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? But the thing about it is, sometimes, like those tomatoes, it takes a couple of months before you begin to realize the fruit of them. Now, the really cool part is, that's when it makes it all worth it. As long as you have sown something good and you're reaping of the good things. But when the bad things come, let me tell you something. Satan's timing is impeccable. He will have you harvest the bad things you've sown at the time that is the most inopportune for you. And all God's people said, you know how that goes. To reap, it says, whatever you sow, you will reap later. There's nothing amazing about it. When you plant, you expect the seed to grow. The point of these verses is this, that our lives are the same way. You know, the context makes this very pointed, that when we live by the deeds of the flesh or depend on the Spirit to produce His fruit through us, there will be consequences and there will be no escape to them. When you pick up the seed bag every day of your life, you better look in it and see what's there. You better check what it is. When you make that comment to somebody, when you see those things, when you get ready to go down the bad road, and here's the interesting thing, you will not do it by mistake, because the Holy Spirit will tell you, you just picked up the wrong bag of seed. But you know what often we do? I'm going to put whatever I want out there. I got the right seed. I got this. God, you take a seat. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You must be careful. Why do I say that? If you dabble in the flesh, now that was an interesting word. You know what? Because some of y'all just realized you dabble in the flesh. I'll just dabble over here. Dabbling's dangerous, isn't it? You know, Satan always carries you further than you wanted to go. He wants you to walk up to the... He'll say, it's all right, you're not crossing the line if you get to right here. You can put your toes on the line. And you're still good. You ain't crossed any line. Look, that's the biblical line. But you know what he does? He'll push you, won't he? Now, all y'all are angels in here. You have never had a friend of yours standing by the water's edge and ever pushed them in the river, the creek, the pond, the pool, whatever, have you? No. Oh, it was just too tempting, wasn't it? You're like, well, that's exactly what Satan. He'll bait you to the edge of sin, and then when he gets you distracted, he'll shove you over it and then chastise you for it. That's what he'll do. If you dabble in the flesh as a Christian, here's something that you need to understand. And I want you to listen closely to this. If you dabble in the flesh, there are consequences. I tell you, one of the worst things in the world is to do something and have to pay for it later after you realize what you did was wrong. And you're going to pay for it in the most inopportune time and inopportune moment of your life. There are consequences to sin. And I don't know why we have a theology in our society today that simply says, well, if you just trust God, everything's going to be fine. Let me tell you something. You will still reap consequences of past sin even as a believer. I know you can think of some examples. I'll give you some shortly. Paul gives us this unbreakable law that you reap what you sow. Every aspect of your life is a sowing process. Do you hear me? Every aspect of your life is a sowing process. When you go to the grocery store, when you have to deal with the cashier, when you go to the restaurant, when you go to the car dealership, when you see your coworkers, when you're driving down the road, you know that's a weakness of mine. Sometimes you want to communicate with those around you, not in love. Okay? Now, if we know this to be true, according to the Word of God, and it is true, why would you still get involved in those things like immorality, adultery, speed, gossip? Why would we live indifferently? Why would we lie if we know there's a consequence for it? You know why? Because we're not living for the future. We're living in the moment. What is it for me? What is it the Bible says? The Bible tells us that there's pleasure in sin for a season. But it goes on and tells us what happens after that as well. The answer, I'm going to give you the answers. What was the question? Remember, if this law is true, why do we get involved in the things that we get into? And it's very easy answers. Here's number one. Number one is because of the lies. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Why do we do things? Why do we think things? And why do we feel things that lead to certain negative consequences in our lives? Why do we do that? The answer? Because we're deceived. We're deceived into thinking that it's going to be something good, that it's going to be something better. We're deceived into thinking that God is not being fair to us. We've all been there at some point in our lives, and we say, well, God's just not being fair to me. God, I read your word. I walk with you. I pray with you. And why is it that all this stuff, you're just not being fair to me like a child, don't we? The lie. Satan has told you that lie straight from the pits of hell. And yet we buy into it. But why do we buy into it? Because it doesn't take a whole lot to sway us over when we are looking for somebody to back our side of the situation. That's why I've always said, and I've told people in premarital counseling, I said, when you have issues, don't go running to your friends. I don't care how close you are to them. And they look at me like, well, why not? I just need somebody to talk to. I said, well, that's why you got me. I said, because if you're wrong, I'll tell you you're wrong. If you're wrong, I'll tell you you're wrong. But let me tell you what happens. When you go run to your friend and you talk about what your significant other did to you, you know what they do? They go, oh, you poor thing. And then what they do is they support you in being upset, angry, mad, or whatever. Now, some of y'all are going, well, I've got better friends than that. I hope you do. I've had some friends, but generally there are very few that would sit back and go, nope, you're the one that's the weirdo. You're the one that's messing up. But most of us don't, because most of us sit back and go, well, I'm not a professional counselor, but I think you're right. And we thrive on that. We thrive on getting people to back our play, to believe what we think. And that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. The Greek word deceived means to cause to wander or go astray, is what that simply means. It gives us the English word planet. You know, ancient astronomers saw the planets wandering in the sky in contrast to stars that were fixed. That's where that came from. It comes to mean that those who wander from the truth into self-deception doctrinal error. Paul is literally saying, do not be continually led astray or self-deceived. I think the problem is we like anybody who backs our play, who backs our situation. And that's why you wind up getting sides. Well, I'm on this side. I'm on that side. I believe this. I believe that. I don't like what you've said, so I'm going to cut you off. That's what happens there. I tell those couples, if you've got an issue, you come talk to me. Well, I'll probably share with my mom and dad. So don't think I'd do that yet. You know why? I said, your mama and daddy, they may correct you, but they still going to be mad at your significant other for a while. And it may take a long time for them to get past that. You know, when you come walking up to the house after you've patched everything up, and you're like, hey, mom, and oh, hey, sweetheart. And then he comes in, and mom's like. So, it takes a while, don't it? Now, some of y'all know this because you've been there. Don't believe the lie. There are consequences for the bag of seed that you sow as you go out. The tense of this verbiage that we're reading about today. Do not be pressed to embrace the lie, is what it's telling us. What lie? The lie that there are no consequences for your choices. When we make those choices, for some odd reason, we have bought into the lie that there's no consequence for them. We bought into the lie that when we cheat on our spouse, there's not going to be a consequence for it. We bought into the lie that when we tell lies, that that's just going to justify our position and there's no consequence for it. What is it that the Word also tells us? The Word also tells us, beware, your sins will find you out. You cannot hide from God. He does not allow sin into the kingdom. He will bring about conviction upon your heart. The lie is, there's not going to be any consequence for what you do. Go ahead. Steal it. There's no consequence for it. Go ahead, tell that lie. It'll help you out. Go ahead, cheat a little bit. It's all right. It's not a problem. And then all of a sudden, we entertain it and believe it. What are you sowing? The most popular falsehood of our time is simply that you can do whatever you want and not be held accountable nor suffer consequences, that you can sow to the flesh and not pay a negative price. That you can keep on speeding but not get a ticket. How many of y'all have ever tried that? Oh, thanks, Fred. Me and you are the only two honest people around here before. Bottom line is, we wasn't sorry. We were sorry we got caught. We were violating that speed limit. I paid a negative price, didn't you? The insurance goes up, You got that speeding ticket. You got to report it to the commercial driver's license people if you have one like me. They call that an MVR, motor vehicle record. Some think they can gossip and not have it damage others to be repeated. And man, we're terrible about that. The grapevine is still very alive and well. People believe that they can go out and do drugs and not get hooked on them or do damage to themselves or their families. That you can be promiscuous outside of your marriage and not permanently harm others or experience masses of guilt along the way, because the Holy Spirit will convict your heart, particularly if you're a believer. You cannot get away with it. There will be conviction. Daily, each and every one of us are drenched through media, through secular education, through unsaved friends with the lies of humanism and hedonism is the best way to say it, that there is no God and pleasure is the number one goal of your life. If it feels good, do it. Life is short. Have fun. If you want to do that, you should go do it. There's not any consequence. And that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. Oh no, there are consequences. Daily on earth, we are pressed with deceitfulness, selfishness, and greed. And you know what society says? Those are good things. It's good to be selfish. It's good to be greedy. That way you've got more money. It's good for you to jockey for position and outdo your fellow man. Society has said these are good things. And folks, they're not. Why do you think it says in verse 7, God is not mocked? Literally, Paul warns the reader not to attempt to turn your nose up at God and treat him with contempt. When you try to beat the law of the harvest, you're ridiculing God. I can do this and get away with it. I'll just sin here. It's all right. It's not that big of a deal. I'll get away with it. Now, that is ridiculing God. And be very careful, because as the word says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're literally sneering at God when you do that. When you attempt to evade the law of the harvest, it's that you're trying to outsmart the Lord and make him look ridiculous. And let me make you a promise. You will never do that, ever. He's got your number. By trying to beat his law, you are attempting to prove God to be wrong. And he takes offense to that. There are consequences. Deceived and mocked in this particular instant, if you look at the grammar of it or the syntax of it, they are passive intense. And what that means is it is happening to you. That's what it means. You and I are constantly bombarded with, there is no God, there is no law, there are no absolutes, there's no absolute ruler, there's no absolute. That's what society wants. You know why society wants that? They don't want absolutes, because then everybody's always right. Even if something is wrong to you, if somebody else believes it to be right, then it's right to them. That's the world we're living in today. They don't want absolutes. That's why society in the world doesn't want God today. That's why they don't want the Word of God, because if the Word of God were taken to be true, then that would mean there are absolutes. That absolutely this is a sin. No, it's not absolute. I can do whatever I want to, because that's what life's all about. And I can do it, and I don't have to take responsibility for it. It's your responsibility. Do you hear how stupid that sounds? But is that not what's going on in society today? We blame everybody else for what goes wrong in our life. Well, if it wouldn't have been for Wilma over there, everything would have been fine. And if you're Wilma, I'm sorry. I pulled that one out of my hat. If it wouldn't have been for her, if it wouldn't have been for him, Is there ever a time when we buck up and say, you know what, I just completely jacked this one up, Lord. I completely messed this one up. I'm owning my mistake. I was wrong. But even when you do, buckle up for just a second. Even when you do own up to it, here's what you need to understand. That does not mean the consequence of your sin will go away. Because what you sowed in the past, you will reap in the future. It's plain and simple. I've used this example 1,000 times. If you got a teenager that's out and is promiscuous, and all of a sudden they find themselves with child, they may be sorry. They may have gone to the Lord and asked forgiveness, and there's true repentance there, and God has forgiven. But guess what? 9 months later, there's going to be a crying little bundle of joy that's going to happen. There's consequences for our sins. Because why? Whatever you reap, you will sow down the road. Verse 7 says that. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. You cannot beat God. He does not change his laws of harvest just because you. Now, how does that relate to life today? If you watch, you know, a trashy movie, it's going to affect your thinking. It does. If you dwell on evil thoughts, it's going to change your behavior. If you feel sorry for yourself, and then you're going to warp your friendships that you have with other people. If you cheat on your homework or lie on official papers, then there's a price that you're going to pay down the road. Plain and simple. You can make a mistake, folks. Do you realize that? I still remember one of the biggest lessons I learned on that came from my commander when I was a police officer. I went out, man, I was working radar, and I wrote a bunch of tickets. I was proud of myself, only to discover something. Where I had been set up, the speed limit changed. It was on the sign. In other words, I didn't realize that there was a different speed from where I was running. That was my fault. That was my mistake. So I was writing people tickets that didn't deserve tickets. And I had written about 30 of them. And all of them had a court date. And I said to my commander, I have messed up. What do I need to do? He goes, well, you don't really know how to get a hold of them. And he said, unfortunately, some of those people will pay those out of court. And you have deprived them. You have, essentially, their insurance is going to go up and everything else because you did something wrong. Now, he said, I get it. Mistakes happen. He said, but there's also going to be another consequence. He said, there are going to be some of them people who are going to show up, maybe more than you think because of you were wrong, and they're going to be able to prove it. I said, well, what do I do? He said, you walk into that courtroom and you tell the judge you made a mistake and that you would like to null pros all of those tickets. He said, you're going to look bad for today, but you're going to look a whole lot better tomorrow because you owned up to your mistake. Don't try to just sweep it under the rug. Don't try to. I called the DA, and the DA said, Judge, Officer Carter made a mistake on this particular day. He wrote 30 speeding tickets. And the judge starts calling names out. If you're here, stand. They stood up. About half of them were there. He said, you are free to go. No court costs, no nothing. You are free to go. And the judge looked at me and said, you better get your head in the game. And he was right. So I'm going to tell you something spiritually today. You better get your head in the game. Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Are you buying in to the lies? Are you listening to what's going on? That's law number one. And I'm not going to get to law two. I'm going to pick this up next week. Because if I get to law too, y'all gonna miss lunch, maybe dinner. But folks, this is important. Why is it important? Because it is about how you and I function in this life. We know that we go do things wrong. Even when the Spirit says, you ought not do this, or let me get it a little bit more personal, you ought not say this. You ought not have the heart or the attitude that you have in what you have. And you know what that means? That means you need to work on you. I liked the great theological explanation of a country West Virginia preacher one day when he said this. And it was talking about, you know, judging other people, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and they were having a big theological debate over it. And I like what the old country preacher said when they said, well, what do you think about that? And he said, well, he said, basically what that means is if I spend time cleaning up my own backyard, I ain't going to have time to clean up somebody else's. I got plenty of work to do in my own backyard. That's just one case. That's one aspect. You see, what drives people nuts, what hurts Christianity, is when people go out and live like hell during the week, not in accordance with what the Word of God is, not in accordance with what's taking place and what's going on, not as they should be living and walking, and then come into church on Sunday. Listen, church is a great place to be, but the problem is it's what people see about you. They know it's not real because they don't see you living it every day of your life. And they sit back and go, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want that. That's just a bunch of hypocrites. That's where that comes from. Now, like I said, hey, I'm glad you're here. Guess what? This might blow some of you away, but here we go. This room is full of sinners today. Wow. Maybe we should start weeding through them. Maybe we should start kicking them out. Or would we have to volunteer to go? Now, see, what would happen is we would try to hide in our seat. Like, you remember what happened in John chapter 8 when they picked up the stones? The lady caught in adultery, caught in the very act. The law says we're supposed to stone her, but what do you say, Jesus? And he started to write on the ground. Now, I've said this before. Nobody knows what's been written. There's a lot of speculation. A lot of speculation is he began to record the sins of all those in the crowd because I don't know of anything that'll clear a room any quicker than that. How about you? Every one of us have some things in our lives right now that you would never want your neighbor to know about. Because you'd say, if they heard this, they'd be going, and they would. Well, guess what? They have the same amount of stuff in their life as well that would make you go, every last one of us. You reap what you sow. If you plant maters, maters are coming. If you sow seeds of discord, guess what's going to come in your life? Discord. And it's going to come down the road. It's not going to happen right in the moment. It's going to hit you like that old expression says, revenge. Not that God's getting revenge, but you'll understand the statement. Revenge is a dish best served cold after it's set for a while. Now, that's not that God's getting revenge on you, but you know what? There's a timing between the growing and the harvest. If you sow discord, discord's coming. If you sow sin, sin's coming. If you sow hateful attitude's coming back to you. Because what's going to happen is that's what you've planted in your little garden. And I would like to think that none of us want that in our little garden. Nope. Why is it that we buy into it? Because number one, we have bought into the lie of Satan. He tells you, oh, this is for you. This is good. You know what? You deserve that. You should take that. Let me tell you, Satan loves to tempt you. I still remember my last time as a tactical police officer, and we did a raid. There was drugs and money and all kinds of things in there. I had about 80 people that were arrested. Yes, 80 people in one of them tiny, I call it New Jersey houses. when we hit the place. So what do they do when we're collecting evidence? They handed me something and they said, you need to take this down and you need to submit it to evidence. Guess what they handed me? $80,000 in cash. 80 grand in 20s. Oh, I know. You tell you how I know? Because you know what? I put that in my car and I started down to the police department. There was nobody else with me. The money hadn't been counted yet. Nobody knew how much money was there. How do I know all this? Because Satan told me every bit of it. He's like, anybody going to know what's missing? I mean, what's a criminal going to do? Say, I know there was $80,000 in there and there's only 40 when it comes down to court. They might be going, that's going to be better on me. It looks like we didn't do as much business. Why don't you just take some of that? You only making $24,000 a year. There's 3 or 4 years worth of your salary sitting in a seat. Nobody's going to know. You're a good man. Put it to good use. You can even tithe on it. Satan is dirty, isn't he? Isn't that what he says? Boy, I'll tell you one thing. The church would love it if all of a sudden, you know, I had $40,000 and there's $4,000 would be the tithe. Shoot, I might even be generous because I know how I feel inside. I'm a little guilty. Maybe I'll give them $8,000. Oh, Roy, you'll look good in your church. And that look what that could do. That could put the new playground for the kids out. In fact, why don't you designate that for something like that? You know, it might even be called the Roy Carter Memorial Playground at Old Forest Road Baptist Church. You know why we're laughing? Because that happens more often than you know. And I'd sit there and I got down and I sat in that room. And then I thought, I better not do that because there's probably drugs all over this and I'll be. So I went next door and I said, I need you to do me a favor. I need somebody in this room with me. I said, there's two things I need you to do. I need you to check my count, and I need to make sure that you can vouch for me that all this goes in the. And I still felt bad because, you know what? It could have disappeared on the car ride from the house to the. But it took a guy in there. And when we got done counting, it was $80,000 in cash. More money than I'd ever seen. And I bagged it up, and I put it in evidence. And testified to it. And my commander said this to me later on. I said, dude, I said, don't do that to me again. He said, what? I said, don't ever put me with money like that. I said, do you know what kind of temptation it is? And here's what my commander said. He said, I absolutely know what kind of temptation it is. And he said, that's why I put it in your hands to take down there. He said, because you walk with the Spirit. He said, you're a believer, you're an outspoken believer. And he said, I felt like if there was anybody I could trust not to succumb to the temptation, it was you. I said, well, then you have a lot more faith in me than I did. Because, buddy, that was tempting. But you know what I also remembered? That whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And I saw that happen with some of my people. Some of the people I worked with got in trouble for doing things they shouldn't have done. This is kind of like that old expression that we've heard before. What goes around comes around. Don't believe the lies. That's point number one. We'll get to point number two next week. This is critical. This is every single day of your life. I love what that old man was telling that young man when he said, I want to sow my wild oats. And basically the old man said this, whatever you sow, you better be careful. Because whatever you sow, that you shall reap. And he said, that is not my words. Those are the words of the Word of God. Be careful. We out running around going, every day you're doing that. Those seeds are going to take hold. They're going to germinate. And that's going to be your harvest. What is your harvest going to be? Now, that's not to say, I'll get to this later, but I got to get to it right now for just a moment. Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to have our invitation hymn. The problem is that, you know, when people see that and they're like, I've thrown a lot of really bad seed. We've been there, haven't we? And you're sitting there going, I haven't reaped the consequences yet, but they're coming down the road because it's going to germinate, it's going to grow, and it's going to be bad. How do you stop that? Well, you know what you do? Today, you start to sow good seed. And eventually, all of the bad seed is going to grow, and the harvest is going to happen, and then what's going to come in behind it? The good seed. It's a process. It takes time. If I planted tomatoes this year and I didn't want tomatoes, that doesn't mean it's too late to have squash. But you know what it means? It means I got to plant squash today so I can have squash later. Don't believe the lies of Satan. He is a liar extraordinaire. Oh, just take it. You deserve it. You know what? You might deserve it, but it's not right. But we just want somebody to tell, oh, well, yeah, you're right. I do deserve this. I am a good worker. I should take this. No. Whatever you sow, it's going to come back to you. So I'm going to ask you this question. We will pick up with point number two next week. But the question is simply this. First of all, have you trusted Christ? I love that old guy. I actually went up to him afterwards and said, I really appreciated what you told him. I was rooting for you the whole time. I was praying for you. I was praying for this kid. Because I kept thinking, is he going to drive it home? Is he going to offer Jesus to him? And then here he was. He's like, man, you can change that today. You can trust Jesus. And I was up there going, yeah. He said, I'll pray with you. I'm going, yeah. I was like, it's none of my business. But I was getting ready to jump on in and say, can I be a part of this? It was so cool. But man, I told that old man, I said, look, I really appreciate what you shared with him. I said, because you're 100% right. And I'll tell you, he just had the most solemn look on his face. Because you know what? He wasn't worried about somebody giving him an attaboy. He was more worried about that kid that walked away without Jesus. That was what he was worried about. I said, look, man, it's not over yet. I said, you've planted the seed of the Spirit. The conviction will come from the Holy Spirit. And maybe, prayerfully, hopefully, someday in the kingdom, that guy will come up and say, hey, you remember me from the auto shop? I'm that guy. Thank you for being faithful. Oh, and by the way, you were right. Whatever man sows, that he will reap. Do you know my Jesus? Have you trusted him? I'm not talking about the forms. I'm not talking about the check boxes. I am talking about a down and dirty, get in the mud with Jesus and ask his forgiveness and live for him every day. Not something that you did on Sunday, October the whatever this is, 8th. But something that you did on October the 8th that lasted for a lifetime. Times are going to be hard. Temptation is going to come your way. But mark his word, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you haven't trusted Jesus, I'm inviting you to do that now, whether you're part of our online audience, whether you're sitting right here. I don't even want you to do anything else right now other than stop and say, Lord, today I'm asking you to forgive my sins and save my soul. Teach me, Father. Lead me. In Jesus' name, amen. And I can promise that if you meant that, you begun the relation. But that's just the start of it. It's about walking with him. Let us help you with that. We can do that. I mean, come on. We're here to celebrate with you. This family, that's what you do in a herd. You celebrate together. You help each other. You get on the right track to be a disciple of his. And people are like, oh, it scares me when I go out in society today. Well, good, because the Lord told you you're not supposed to look like the world. Don't be camouflage Christian. You need to be the blaze orange in a sea of camouflage, that when people see you, they know you're God. Have you trusted Him? Listen, let us know. We can pray for you. We can help get you on the right path. Maybe today you're just sitting back going, you know, I have been on cruise control for so long. I don't let the stuff affect me that used to affect me. I've been doing some pretty stupid things. I've been sowing some pretty bad seed. Well, you know what? You can turn today, but remember, there's going to be a harvest on the horizon. There's still, I've had people before said, you know what? I turned my life around and I started and things got worse. I said, yep, they got worse because your harvest started coming in from what you sowed in the past. It's going to take some time. But when the good stuff starts coming in, it's going to be good stuff. Maybe we need to start today to pick up the right seed and begin to sow it. Well, is that what you need to do? Maybe you just need to repent, give it to the Lord, and say, Lord, hey, I messed up. I'm sorry. He will forgive you. But don't forget, there's still going to be some consequences on the horizon. Not His fault, because you will reap what you sowed. If you need this altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. But I'm asking you to do business with God today based on what He spoke to your heart out of this particular passage. We're going to be singing our invitation hymn number 285, Where He Leads, I'll Go. Would you stand with me as we sing this invitation hymn and as you do business with God?
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
You continue to do business with God as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Don't leave this place not acting on what the Holy Spirit has given you today through His Word. What do you need to do? Do it now. You have to. It's critical because there's a harvest that lies down the road. As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would to make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Would you pray with me? Our Father, as we come to You now, we're so grateful and thankful for the provision that You give each and every one of us in life. Lord, I pray that in all that we say and all that we do, that we'll magnify You. Lord, right now, I just pray that You would help us to be faithful, to return to You the tithe and the offering in the way that You have so richly blessed us. As Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's right, brother. Thank you. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. Thank you, Jim and Amy. I appreciate that. That was something that just took me all kinds of good places from days gone by and in the future as well. Let me give you a couple things. We'll get you out of here. As reminders, today, a lot of y'all know Stephanie Gwynn. Stephanie is having a birthday today. And then Tuesday, our very own Miss Betty Cazito will be having a birthday. If you get a chance, be sure to wish them a happy birthday. And then this coming Wednesday, Debbie and Jonathan Fondo will celebrate another year of marriage together, which is a big thing. Anniversaries are a big deal nowadays because usually they're just not that, people just don't make it that long anymore. So be sure to let them know that you appreciate them, you love them. And then just the things that we have going on today, a schedule for today, my discipleship group, D-Life group, will meet in the conference room at 3:30. Awana is tonight starting at 5:30 over in the gym. Choir practice, 4:45 along the way. Bible study tonight in here, 6 o'clock p.m. With Pastor David. Band practice, one more night off. You're getting a reprieve because you played last weekend. So no band practice tonight. Monday, Leonard, I think we're, not tomorrow. The following Monday. Okay. Not tomorrow, but the following week, the CBC Classic Gospel Singers will resume their practice at 3 o'clock? 3 o'clock in room 116 over here. If you need any information, don't ask me. Leonard's the one who's got the schedule, and I mess it up all the time, but Leonard can let you know. But not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, we'll pick practice back up. Also, Steve Kelly's D-Life small group will meet Monday, 6:30 p.m. over in the conference room. Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic in Colfax is the men's fellowship, and I like to call it that. There's no agenda. You come, you eat, you have fun, you just have a good time of fellowship with the guys. That's every Wednesday at the Olympic in Colfax, 10 a.m. Also, Operation Christmas Child, we're getting ready to gear back up for that. So if you pack boxes, we're going to get you to go ahead and start making preparation for that. There are some boxes that are back there in the narthex now that you can take with you. To pack, start doing that. But also, once again, this year, Central is one of our regional drop-off points. So if you would like to help out, and what we do is that people from all over the region and churches and that bring their boxes over to us. We pack them in larger containers. Then we move them over to where the tractor-trailer truck will take them on to Charlotte. So we need some help doing that. We have several nights that are set up. I think the schedule is back there in the back. There's also a sign-up sheet if you would like to help collect for the regional drop-off. That's what the sign-up sheet is for, but we do want to encourage you, build a box, man. It makes so much difference in the hearts and the lives of people. The drop-off will be starting on November the 13th and dropping off in the gym over there. That's the regional part of it, but we'll be doing some other things as a church in preparation for making our boxes to put in with those. Even though we're a regional drop-off, we'll move them from this building to the next building when the time comes. So pack a box. That's a big thing. Trunk or treat, October the 29th, 6 to 8 p.m. Out here in the parking lot. If you want to be a part of that, that would be outstanding. We need trunks and we need treats all together. So be sure to, if you can be a part of that, it'd be great. Also, our bi-monthly blood drive is going to be November the 14th. I know that's a little ways out, but you can go ahead and mark your calendar to prepare to be here, 2:30 to 7 on that particular day. And then we do have a work day planned, church work day. That's going to be on November the 4th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're going to try to clear up as much as we can as far as you know, trees hanging on roofs and that sort of thing. And we're not going to ask you to climb a tree or anything like that. But if you can help with that, that's going to be November the 4th. Building and grounds will be taking care of that. One other thing I want to mention, get it on the calendar. We have secured our date for our Cuba mission team for 2024. That is going to be March the 1st through March the 8th. Once again, March 1 through March 8th. So if you can be a part of that team, if you have prayerfully sought the Lord in that regard, we need to get you moving because probably by Thanksgiving, we will have to have our payments in, passport information, all that stuff, because the government in Cuba closes down for the month of December, and it takes a three-month lead time to get our visas. So last time, it was before Thanksgiving that we had to have all of our information into the state convention to secure our travel visas to be able to go. So if you feel as if the Lord has put it on your heart to be a part of our Cuba team, then start making preparation now. Let me know if you're planning on going so I can see how many we plan to have for our team. And then we also work that through the state convention. So if you're not going on part of that team, begin praying about what the Lord would have for you to do in the way of financial support. Now remember, we raise our money outside of the church. The money that we raise through the church goes to the ministries that are done as we go over there. And wow, this past year was something else in what you all have supported, not only in the past, but in the present, but in the future as we go forward. So with that, anybody got anything? Have I missed anything? Okay, I don't think so. So at any rate, I'm gonna get you to do this. I'm going to let David come up, and if I've forgotten anything, he can let us know, and then he'll see us off in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to be in your house today as the family of God worshiping together. Lord, we pray that you'll take the message that we have received and apply it to our hearts, God, and help us to not only live our lives in a way that would bring honor and glory to you, but also, Father, help us to be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.